Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Richmond, Virginia, welcome to the newly expanded version of What Does the Word Say, a production of DMC Ministries. We teach you how to be authentic in your faith, genuine in your service, and humble in your blessings. We want you to be dynamic, motivated, and Christ-like. We help you make the Word of God real. Be sure to check out our website at www.dmcministries.net to take advantage of the resources we have available. Books, CDs, DVDs, podcasts, and more are there just for you. Links to this and the previous shows are one click away, and you can read every edition of our newsletter, The Progressive Walk. Ever wonder what it takes to be dynamic, motivated, and Christ-like? Well, that and much, much more are available on our site. If we can be of service to you, please email us at dmc@dmcministries.net. or give us a call at 804-909-7339. You can also watch us streaming live on Periscope. Download the app from the Apple Store or the Android Play Store. Follow us on our Twitter page at DMCCEI, and you'll get live updates when we're on the air. Today, we're going to continue our study in the book of John, and I am so excited about what God is going to do today. Hallelujah. If you'd like to be part of the conversation this morning, then give us a call at 347-857-1322 or log in to www.blogtalkradio.com/DMC2 and you can listen or chat with us online. It's my distinct pleasure, as always, to introduce one of my best friends in the whole wide world, Pastor Godfrey Kasiri from God's Kingdom and Ham Ministries in Chesterfield, Virginia. Pastor, how are you this morning?
I'm doing good, brother. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, amen. Just fine as frog's hair split 18 ways. And
hallelujah, brother. What a mighty, wonderful.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was saying, what a wonderful God that we serve, brother.
Amen. Amen, amen, and amen. How about give us an update on the church?
Yes, sir. We are continuing to meet at Hall Street. The physical address is 3076 Hall Street Road. We're meeting from 3 up to 5, enjoying the presence and above all, sharing the word of life, brother.
Amen. Amen. Well, let me pray, and we're going to get started. We're still in John chapter 14.
John.
Yeah, and I believe we're starting at verse 15, but we'll check that out in just a minute. Father, we just want to humble ourselves this morning and come before you and thank you so much for the opportunity to be gathered in your. We thank you, Lord, for your word that goes out and accomplishes that which is meant to accomplish and does not return unto you void. And Lord, we just thank you. We appreciate you so much for everything that you're doing for us. And Lord, we want to be your humble, obedient servants of the Most High God. Now, Father, as we break this word down today, Lord, have it be seed that's sown into good ground that'll reap a 30, a 60, a 100, even a 1,000-fold return in this lifetime. And, Father, we'll just give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank
All right,
Jesus.
Well, we're going to start in John chapter 15. I'm sorry, John chapter 14 is going to be verse 15, right? And he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, that's a very interesting statement. Would you like to elaborate on that?
Yes, brother. Before I get to that, there is something I looked at, which I had never realized in the scriptures, brother, from verse 14, then I'll come to 15. Can you look at John chapter 14, verse 14, compare it with, it just came to me this morning, I was looking at it, compare it to John chapter 16 and verses 23 and 24. It says, let's begin with verse 14 of John 14, where it says that if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And when I look, brother, at chapter 16, come to verse 23 and 24, Jesus is saying, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. I was looking most particularly in chapter 16, verse 23, where Jesus says, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. And yet in chapter 14, verse 14, it says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And I was looking at it, in verse 14, previously we are looking at the works. Of course, we are talking about miracles. This is in regards to service. And yet in chapter 16, it kind of seemed like this might be in reference to the daily needs. How do you see that?
I think you're absolutely right. If you ask anything if you ask anything, he'll give it to you, or he'll do it for you. The question is, what are you asking for? Are you asking according to the Word of God? Because the Bible says you have not because you ask not, but when you ask amiss. So I think it's important for us to understand that we need to listen for the Holy Spirit to find out exactly what we have need of, because some of us really don't know.
Right. That's absolutely right, brother. And, of course, that's when we come to verse 15, where it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I believe here is speaking about the Word, because if we love him, we're going to keep his Word. And I was looking at it like this, brother. That he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, these are not requests. If he was to say, if you love me, keep my requests. I'm requesting you to. But these were commands. And, of course, we know one of the commands is a new commandment I give unto you, which is the new commandment. It's love. Love God as, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And then to love God. And I'm looking at it that it wasn't a request that I'm giving a request, but it's a command. Here, he commanded it.
Well, it's also a conditional statement there too, because he says, says if you love me, so we keep going back to the same thing about the fact that there's a decision that has to be made.
Right.
And so what he's telling you here is if you love me, then keep my commandments. Now, we're not talking about the Ten Commandments or the 633 total commandments of the law. We're talking about exactly what you were just discussing there, the two, because he took all of that and changed it into two. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Mm-hmm. So if you are operating, and that's the currency of heaven is love.
Right.
So if you're operating in the currency of heaven, then you're going to be able to ask for what you have need of, and it puts a fiduciary responsibility on him to give you what you ask for. But the condition is you have to keep his commandments. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So
amen.
If you love me, keep my commandments. So this is, and again, you're absolutely right. This is not a request. This is a command.
That's right.
you know, it's not one of those things. Well, if you have time, or if you could get around to it, you know, I remember when I was in the fire department, you know, when an officer would tell me to do something, you know, I would jump and say how high on the way up.
Right.
It wasn't a matter of one of those things. Well, you know, if you have time and you can get around to it, and you feel like it, then how about just going ahead and getting this done? No, it was, this needs to be done. I'm telling you to do it. Do it.
Mm.
But most people today don't understand authority. So they want to be in authority, but you can't be in authority unless you're under authority.
Oh, come on. That's
Amen.
The truth, brother. Amen. Amen.
So,
that's the truth.
So Jesus said, look, he said, all authority.
It's given unto me.
It's given to me. I'm the big dog. I'm the boss.
Mm. Mm.
You know, so, and yet he knew how to handle that authority because he recognized the fact that he was under authority. He was under the authority of God.
That's
so
right.
So it was never about him. I mean, even remember when he was getting ready to be crucified, and the king told him, he says, don't you know that I have the power of life and death over you? And he said, the only power you have is that which my Father gives you.
Right.
He said, I could call down legions of angels and end this thing right now.
Mm-hmm. That's right, brother.
Dude, you ate all that in a bag of chips. I'm the man. But he was able to give us glory be to God. I didn't want to go here, but this has got to be done. He gives us a vivid example of what our responsibility is as leaders.
Right. Yeah.
Now there's a big today for people to have titles. Okay, apostle, prophet, evangelist, teacher, deacon, bishop, usher, minister of music, associate or assistant pastor, la da 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 da. Archbishop, that's what I heard the other day. I don't have no idea what an archbishop is. But anyway, so there's that big that, and it's not about so that you can serve, it's so that you can be served.
Right.
And that is 180 degrees in the opposite direction from the example that we're seeing right here.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying, look, if you want to ask for something, first of all, you got to keep my commandments.
That's right.
And if you do that, then you need to go to the Word and find out exactly what it is that I want you to have.
That's right.
And then you can ask according to the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're out here asking for Cadillacs and big houses and lots of money, you know, I think you're gonna be sorely disappointed, because that's not what this is all about. So if you have a desire to be a leader, we talked about this earlier in John. If you want to be first, you have to serve all.
Exactly.
And that's a word that is foreign to our churches today. This is not about self-aggrandize the nation, or whatever that word is, or self-edification or exhortation or whatever.
That's
this is about, look, you're a gift given to the body of Christ. And if you have the opportunity to be in a position, quote unquote, of authority or leadership, that is not a dictatorial type thing. You have to have the heart of a servant.
Exactly. And I believe, brother, according to the words of Jesus, the measure of our greatness, or the measure of someone's greatness, is serving. Because where Jesus says, who is greater, is either the one who sits at the table or the one that is being served? And Jesus said, I'm as the one who is serving. So I believe that's the mark of greatness. You're very right.
Well, then we go back to the parable that we talked about, Martha and Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who was the greater there? Martha, who was concerned about all of the minutia, or Mary, who was sitting at the feet of Jesus serving the Master?
Hallelujah.
Amen. Wow. Well, there we go.
And I was looking, I said, now, could that be where we find sometimes the hindrance? Because here it says that, keep my commandments. Now, there were not requests, and we've seen one of them that it says, the new commandment I give unto you. Of course, we are to love God with all our strength, with all our mind, with all our might, and then love our neighbors. And I'm also looking at Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, where it says, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. This is the key. But faith which worketh by love. So even faith itself has to work by love.
Wow, you hit on something there. Faith. So faith, you know, the faith that we talk about all the time only works if you're operating in love.
Exactly.
Wow, that's amazing. And so we can see that right here now on the face of this earth. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven. We talked about that, about living heaven on earth. And it's all about our faith, and faith operates through love. I like that. That's good stuff. That is good stuff.
Faith would have to operate through love.
Wow.
And again, we know that faith comes, according to Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. So if we don't, like you said, it is so right. Jesus said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Now, if we fail to understand that what he gave was a commandment, that is the word that he gave, but in order to hear that word and that word begin operating, it has to work by love, because that faith works through love.
Amen. Glory be to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now in that 15, I'm sitting here looking at this thing, and the Lord is just I got the Holy Ghost goosebumps going up and down my spine right now. If you love me, keep my commandments. Well, you know, it's hard to love him and keep his commandments if you're not listening to him.
Exactly. Yes.
The Message Bible says the Amplified Bible says, if you really love me, you will keep and obey my commandments. Hallelujah. You really love me.
Yes.
So there's a lot of people that say, well, I love God. Yeah, right. Well, show it to me. Mm-hmm. We're in Missouri. You need to show me.
Right. Hallelujah. Glory
to God. You know, if you don't have a relationship with God, if you're not spending time in the Word, I mean, we said that faith comes by hearing by the Word of God.
Yes.
And you're not praying, and I'm not talking about ritualistic prayer, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. But if you're not talking to Daddy, how are you going to know, you know, what's going on?
Exactly.
Glory be to God.
That's the big question.
So then he goes to verse 16. He says something here that's just absolutely magnificent. I about get excited on this one.
Thank you, Lord.
I know that's hard to believe, but, you know, bear with me. I'm trying to be excited here. He says in verse 16, it says, and so he says, first of all, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you.
Oh, glory.
Give us some insight on that one, brother.
I'm looking at how you changed the two verses, because the moment we come from 15, he adds on. And so that means he's continuing. And I will pray to the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. First of all, when we are looking at this very word, brother, we've been considering the commandment that one that we dwelt on is love. And we know that in Romans chapter 5, he says that it's the spirit that has shared that love. Let me see if I can find that scripture before we look at that word another. Romans, I believe it's Romans chapter 5, one of the first verses, I believe. Romans chapter 5. Chapter 5 and verse, it is given to us, if I can find it.
Oh, yeah. While you're looking, go ahead.
Verse 5, brother. It says, let's come from verse 4. And patience, experience, and experience, hope. Verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, or by the Holy Spirit, which is given to us. And so I was looking at how these verses are joined together, because this love has to be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And I was also looking at, I'm looking at verse 16 where it says, and he shall give you another. I'm looking at that, considering that word, another. And Amplified says, I'll give you another helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby to be with you forever. Brother, that is so thrilling. So Jesus is saying, I'm giving you another. Yes.
And 17 in the Amplified says, in the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive.
Yes.
The spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive and take it to heart, take it to its heart, because it does not see him or know him, but you know him, because he, the Holy Spirit, remains with you continually and will be in you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise Jesus.
That's just, oh my goodness gracious. It sounds like he's got everything under control.
Exactly. Yes. Brother, he has everything under control. Because first of all, we can picture the disciples wondering, of course, previously they were asking him, show us the way. We don't know the way. And their concern was, now, you've been our comforter. You've been our counselor. Now, are you leaving us? He says, I'm going to give you another.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
One that will be with you always.
Exactly. Yes.
In the Message Bible, verse 15 says, if you love me, show it by doing what I've told you. I will talk to the Father, and he'll provide you another friend so that you will always have someone with you. This friend is the Spirit of Truth. The godless world cannot take him in because it doesn't have eyes to see him. Doesn't know what to look for, but you know him already because he has been staying with you and will even be in you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You already know him because he's been with you. He's been staying with you.
Exactly.
Wow. So the Spirit of Truth is available if we're willing to obey him and love him and keep his commandments.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God. So we go back to that currency of heaven. The currency of heaven is love.
Exactly.
By love. The commands work by love. I mean, the commandments are love. Love your neighbor. Love your God.
That's right.
Or love God, not your God, but God.
God, yes.
And then he's going to leave you the comforter, the Holy Spirit, who is that still small voice in my humble but totally accurate opinion. That we need to be listening to on a regular basis. Hallelujah.
Exactly.
Hallelujah. And what a good God. He says, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you.
I will not leave you as orphans. And when you look at that word, brother, in the day-to-day life, somebody is called an orphan when he has lost a father. And my question here was, now, could it be if we fail to understand the Holy Spirit, the connection with the Father is gone? Because in Galatians, I believe it's Galatians, Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, he has given us the Spirit whereby we cry, which Spirit? The Holy Spirit whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So, in other words, we neglect the Holy Spirit, we'll just stay as orphans.
Wow.
That's quite interesting.
So, is it reasonable to assume, and you have to be careful about assumptions, okay? But is it reasonable to assume that many in the body of Christ are walking around as orphans still, even though they're saved?
Oh, brother, that's a very intriguing approach. But according to how we are looking at the scriptures, it seemed to be very true. And I believe that's why when we started with verse 15, it said, keep my commandments, keep my word. Now, these were not requests. In other words, if we don't cultivate that relationship, because like we've seen in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, it says, it's the Holy Spirit that shed that love abroad in our hearts. And here, according to Galatians 4, 6, the Spirit causes us to cry out, Abba, Father. Now, that's the most loving, intimate, relating Father and the Son can have. Of course, now we know that in chapter 8, verse 14, Romans says, they that are led by the Spirit or of the Spirit are the sons. Now, if you can't get to that relationship with the Father when you miss out on the Holy Spirit, brother.
Wow. So this is very important. In a nutshell, this is very extremely important for people to understand this because what he's saying here is that the opportunity is there. I have made the guarantee. He says somewhere else. I was reading it the other day. I think it's in Hebrews where he talks about, look, when I could swear by nobody else, I swore by myself.
Right.
So, you know, it's like when you buy a house, you know, the house itself is the surety for the deal.
Yes.
And so when you sign those, 187 pages of mortgage papers and commit yourself to $350,000 over 30 years, if something happens, then the house is the collateral.
Mm-hmm.
So they have no problem coming in and taking your house, to satisfy the lien. But here we have God who says, look, I can't, there is no other collateral out there other than me.
Exactly.
So I will be the collateral for your salvation.
I
guarantee based on me that your salvation is real.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, what an awesome gift. I mean, we don't have to do anything to get it. All we got to do is receive it.
That's right.
And then begin to study to show ourselves approved, workmen unashamed of rightly dividing the word of truth. But the issue is we have to receive the free gift of salvation that he gives us.
Exactly, yeah.
And so as we go through this, he continually shows that, the benefits. When you go to work for a new company, and I'm just trying to make this thing real, brother. When you go to work for a company and you do the interview, that's one of the things that you talk about is what are the benefits. You have health insurance, life insurance, how much vacation, what is the pay structure, what is the bonus structure. All of those things are discussed as benefits, 401k, et cetera, et cetera. All those things are benefits. And what he's telling us here is if you'll just humble yourself and obey my commandments.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. If you'll just do this, look at all the benefits that are derived from doing it. I'll send you the Holy Ghost who is there with you to lead you and guide you into all truth and show you things to come. He's never going to leave you, never going to forsake you. He is the Spirit of truth. So if you ever want to know what the truth is, all you got to do is ask because he dwells on the inside of you.
Yes, brother.
Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And you're talking about benefits, brother. I'm looking back at Psalms 103. Remember where it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," and then it goes on, "Forget not all His benefits."
All of His benefits. There you go.
Your iniquity and who heals of all. But we got so many benefits in the kingdom of God, brother.
Amen. And there's absolutely none in the world.
Mm.
Because all the benefits of the world are temporary.
Exactly.
Well, we got a caller on the line here. I want to see who's on the phone here. I can get this name to do what I want. Here we go. Who do we have on the phone this morning?
This is Brother Mike.
Brother Mike!
Hallelujah.
How you doing there, brother?
Pretty good. I'm sitting here. I'm in transportation, so if I go in and out, it's because I'm on the highway.
Amen. Well, what do you think about the... Go ahead.
No, I've been listening. I just came in. I'm just listening to get filled up a little bit.
All right. Amen. Well, we want you to chime in if you have any comments that you want to make.
Amen.
All right. Brother Godfrey, let's go on to verse 19.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Where he says, "A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live, you will live also. At that day you will know that I am in my Father and you in me, and I in you, and he who has my commandments and keeps them." So here we go back to the same thing.
Exactly.
You know, if you keep his commandments, then you're gonna know the Holy Spirit, because that's the the mechanism or the vehicle, if you will, in which we can know the Trinity. But you're also going to know Jesus. You're also going to know God. Hallelujah.
Exactly. Amen.
And so he says, if you keep my commandments or has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. See, one of the things that we have to understand is there's a point that we can get to where we can't deny the you know, and that's, I don't know about you, but that's where I'm at. I can't deny the power of God anymore. I've been around too long.
That's right. And that's why the last part, brother, he says, "And I will manifest myself to him." Now, that means he will show up. And I was looking at, let's say you have an event and you're expecting, a guest to show up, and that guest is not a common guest, you know, ever to be found, you know, in that area. But when he comes, everybody recognizes him. And, I was just reflecting on, it was a big thing. They took it to be a very big deal when they were preparing for the Pope to come. He showed up. But I'm saying now, how much more if we get acquainted with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, in that we are expecting him to manifest himself at every event, every occasion, brother. How excited would we be?
Well, you would think that we would be excited. But you have to be careful, because there's a lot of times that people are wanting to manifest themselves instead of the Holy Spirit.
Oh, come on.
When you talk about going to an event, there's a lot of people that do preaching events, but when they get to the event, you know, they're really not interested in manifesting the presence of God. They're interested in manifesting the presence of themselves.
Come on.
So they can get a bigger donation, if you will, I got to stop that. You have to be careful. If you're operating in the spirit of love, then you know you can make comments like that and really not get yourself in trouble. But you got to make sure that you're always in love. And it's not that when we talk about this stuff, we're not mad at anybody.
No,
we love everybody. We want everybody to get this, because when you get it, then it'll get to the point eventually where I don't have to teach this anymore. I can go on and teach something different. I'm looking forward. I mean, I love John. John's my favorite book, and I'm getting ready to teach it again at Life Christian University. And I am so excited about that. It's just going to be unbelievable. But you know what? I can't wait till we get to the done with John and get into the Kingdom of God, which is our next series.
Thank you.
That thing is going to be off the chain.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, he dwells in you and will not leave you as an orphan. Isn't that amazing? That's just simply amazing. Absolutely. All right, let's see now. Where am I? I'm so excited. I'm just lost in the Holy Ghost right now.
Brother, we're almost leaving. I think we have left 21. But there was a thought that you brought in. It made me to look at this, but where it says so many times you could be preaching or teaching, and then we don't welcome Him, the Holy Spirit. We don't welcome Him to manifest Himself. And I'm thinking, I say, when we look at chapter 16, look at verse 13, it says, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Verse 14, it says, He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. Now, here, even the Holy Spirit is giving away and saying, even when Jesus in chapter 14 says, another will come, but in chapter 16 says, He will glorify Me. The Holy Spirit seeks to glorify Jesus. And as you were picturing that, when we come to stand in the way, we miss seeing the manifestation of the works of God, because, you know, it will be I, me. How about if we just teach the word? And I believe that's what the disciples experienced when you look at Mark chapter 16. The Bible says they preached the word, and the Lord performed miracles working with them. And I believe that's when we come to say, Lord, all I'm doing is I'm teaching Your word. It's what You say, what You promised. It's not all about me. It's about You.
Well, and that's when we go back to 21, where He says, you know, He who has My commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves Me, and he who loves Me will be loved by My Father, and I will love him and manifest Myself to him.
Oh, glory!
So you will have the presence of God manifested to you,
right?
And it's just a matter then, because when you go to verse 22, He says, Judas, not Iscariot, said to Him, "Well, Lord, how is it that You will manifest Yourself to us and not to the world?"
Mm-hmm.
Glory be to God.
Mm.
So in 23, Jesus answered and said to Him, "If anyone loves Me, he will keep My word, and
right.
My Father will love him, and He will come to him, make our home with Him. He who does not love Me does not keep My words, and the word which you hear is not Mine, but the Father's who sent Me." So there again, we go back to that same thing. You know, if you're going to go out here and preach, we'll talk to the ministers for a minute. If you're going to go out and preach, you don't want to preach about yourself. You know,
right.
You really, I heard somebody say one time, and I really believe this is true, that we really have no right to preach. The only thing we have a right to preach is the word of God.
That's right.
Glory be to God.
And it's only the word that promises us in Jeremiah that He follows His word to perform it. So He will never perform anything which is outside His word. We can as well say that, brother.
Well, and the other thing, too, is because the word is seed.
Yeah.
And you know, we already prayed that we want it to be sown into good ground so you can get a 30, 60, 100, even 1,000 fold return in this lifetime. But if you're a farmer and you plant a cornfield full of poppy seeds, you're not going to get corn.
No. Come on. That's the truth.
You've got to make sure that you're planting the right seed. Because the seed is the word of God.
That's right.
And so if you want that, you know, and this is something that we can do for ourselves, too. I tell people all the time, when you read the word, you need to read it out loud.
That's right.
Because then you hear it. And most Christians are hard of hearing.
That's right.
So we need to hear it twice. Hallelujah.
Mm. Hallelujah.
So if you hear it twice, then you have farmers always overplant their seeds. They plant more seeds than what they expect to get a harvest from. Because
right.
you never know which ones are going to take and which ones are not.
Mm.
So praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Mm.
All right. Let's go to verse 25. This is, you have to come to the point where you're listening.
Mm.
You're listening for the word of God. You're listening to hear that voice.
That's
because.
Right.
Because he says here again back in 24, see, he who does not love me does not keep my words.
Mm.
So what words? So you can basically tell, where a person's come from by the words that come out of their mouth.
That's right.
Are their words the word or are their words their words? Hallelujah.
Mm. Mm.
But if he who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So,
That's right.
You got to think about this thing from the perspective of God.
Mm.
God wants to talk to all of us all the time. Now, he could manifest himself through the burning bush like he did with Moses.
That's
okay.
Right. Mm.
But he would rather have a much more intimate and personal relationship. And he does that through the blood that his son shed on the cross and then
That's
the
right.
presence of the Holy Spirit in our life.
Mm.
It's almost like, you really don't want to hear God's audible voice when you can hear it nicely from the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah.
And I like how the Amplified, gave us all those different words in relating to the Holy Spirit, our advocate. And, of course, Jesus is our advocate too. Intercessor. Jesus is our intercessor too. Hebrews 7:25, he says, all ever lives to make intercession for us. Counselor. I mean, this is a person that will come in and say, no, that shouldn't go that way. This is how you should do it. And I believe, brother, when we create that fellowship with the Holy Spirit, sometimes it could even lead us in ways where we are involved in, either it could be in area of our work, what we do, business. We could have a word of counsel from him, I believe.
Well, I can testify to that. I can't tell you how many times I've been out on a job and come
right.
up against something that I've never seen before or had no idea
yeah.
how to fix.
Yeah.
And I just sit there and go, okay, Holy Spirit, you put me here. This is your fault. You put me here. So what do you want me to do? And
That's
I mean,
right.
in a matter of moments,
mm.
okay, in a matter of literally moments, he will tell me exactly what needs to be done.
Exactly.
I mean, you can't, it just don't get no better than that, man. I'm telling
mm.
you.
That's right.
All right, let's push on here into 25 because we're going to talk 25. About the gift of his peace.
Mm-hmm.
In verse 25, he says, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy mm-hmm. Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you.
Mm-hmm.
Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you could rejoice because I said, I'm going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I." Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And so in this perspective here, we need to remember that he's reiterating to them that I'm leaving you a gift of peace.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me ask you this. In Hebrews chapter 4,
mm-hmm.
it talks about entering into his rest.
Right.
My wife was doing a Bible study the other night in Hebrews and had some folks over here. And we started going through that chapter. And, I mean, I think we got down to, verse 4 or 5. And
right.
I left. I left the building. I mean, I was sitting mm-hmm. in the chair. But
right.
I was gone,
mm.
Is there, so let me ask you this question. Is there a difference between the peace that Jesus lives you leaves you, are the pieces you can have through Jesus and entering into God's rest. Is there a difference?
I believe that rest is the same thing as that peace. That's what I would think.
Well, I think that you can have peace and not be at rest.
Mm.
But boy, when you ever get to the point where you enter into his rest,
right,
then peace is a byproduct of that. You're not going to have any issues with having the peace that passeth all understanding, joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Hallelujah.
Now, in Hebrews, and we're not talking about Hebrews now, but in Hebrews chapter 4, it talks about entering into his rest. And in that chapter, it talks about resting from your works, okay?
And
it refers back to Genesis, you know, where he created the heavens and the earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh.
Right.
Well, the Holy Spirit fell up in this place. I mean, it was hotter than Hades in here. And, and the Holy Spirit fell up in here and said, you know, this is where you're at.
Mm.
You know, most Christians, see, there's, and you've seen me do this before when I preach, there's a place over here on the left where you get saved, and then there's a place over here on the right where you get it.
Right.
Okay? And the difference in between there can be, you know, can be perplexing, if you will. It can be a long time. There's a period of time. You have to go through the processes of God to get to the point where you get it. Does that make sense? And once you get it, then there's another place that you'll be able to get to where you enter into his rest. Okay? And so you're gonna cease doing your works. Now don't get me wrong, I'm not talking about sitting on the dock of the bay watching time roll away, okay, dabbling your feet in the anointing. That's not at all what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about a place in your mind, in your spirit, where your mind and your spirit completely connect, okay? And your will is then submitted to the Holy Spirit at all times. Now, this doesn't mean that you're not going to make mistakes, okay?
That's true.
But we're talking an attitude, if you will, where your spirit and your mind are completely connected, so you're always, you know, aware of God being in the house, if you will.
Yeah.
And you acknowledge the fact that there's no place that you can go that you can hide from God, because he says that's kind of dumb. You know, Adam proved that. Where are you going to go?
You cannot hide.
Yeah, you can't hide. And so when you get to that point where you enter into his rest, it means that you have ceased from trying to do things on your own.
That's right.
Okay? Now, it doesn't mean that you're not doing things, but it means you don't have your own agenda. You have a Holy Ghost agenda.
That's right.
Does that make sense?
And so
when you enter into that rest, then you will have peace. But he's saying here, he says, look, I'm going to leave you peace. You're going to have peace.
Mm.
And eventually, you know, then I'm going to send back the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.
Mm.
And the Holy Ghost will help you maintain that. But there's still another place that we need to get to where we enter into his rest.
I believe so.
Amen. Amen. All right, let's see where we're at now. Well, this is good stuff, man. I think we're what, verse 20,
25? We stopped at 27. But you know, it's very interesting that when you look at verse 27, the last part of it was "Let not your hearts be troubled." It kind of like is taking us back to where we started with the opening of the chapter. Let not your heart be troubled. He says the same thing. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So it's kind of like he's taking us back to verse 1 of chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in me, believe also. You believe in God, believe also in me.
Wow.
Mm.
Yeah, that's true, because, you know, we know what fear is. Fear is false evidence appearing real.
That's right. And we know that's why he has said he has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind or self.
Power, love, and a sound mind.
For which you talked about. Yes.
And we have the mind of Christ, and he brings all things to our remembrance. Hallelujah.
Exactly. Yes.
All right, 28. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And in 29, he says, and now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe.
Uh-huh.
I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandments, so I do. Arise, let us go from here. And believe it or not, that's the end of chapter 14.
That's right.
Amen. So it's really interesting here that you know, even though these guys were with him,
right.
I mean, they were with him for 3.5 years. You know, they still had a lot to learn, and they were still dealing with the same things that we deal with on a regular basis, which is doubt,
right.
And fear and the unknown and what have you. And it's interesting to see. This is where a place that I think the church really can do a lot more, and that's discipleship. Okay.
Yeah.
It's one thing. It's easy as an evangelist to go out here and get people saved, but then what do you do with them? Sometimes I think it's better to leave them in their sin than it is to get them saved, because, you know, if you don't have a mechanism in place to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, then it's going to be, you know, there's a potential there for some real problems.
That's right.
But we have got to, as a church or as the church, get to the point where we're investing our time and our effort and our resources in discipleship. I know Brother Mike does a lot of stuff down there in the prison, and that's one of the things that he believes in is discipleship. He works fervently and feverishly to ensure that those people are prepared, so that if and when they comes when they get out, you know, then they're going to have a whole different perspective on things than what they had when they got in there. They're not going to do the same things they did that got them there, and then they'll also be productive citizens of society. And
that's
so,
right.
Let me get back on the line here, see if he's still there. Brother Mike, are you still with us?
Yes, I've been listening very intently and just filling up this morning. You know, that's the time when you put out, and there's a time when you receive. And I have been receiving mightily from two men of God this morning. You know, I'm in a filling up stage. I've been ministering so much lately. We had a wonderful, wonderful service, a deliverance service in Petersburg this Sunday. And Petersburg Institution, they extended the service another half hour, and then they extended it another half hour. So it was 3 hours of service. The reason they extended it, because I think everybody in the whole service came up for anointing and prayer. And I was praying the whole time, and they just kept on coming, and they couldn't have the heart to tell people they couldn't get prayed for through the deliverance service. And I'm still filled up from that. I'm still shook up from that. You know, just.
Do you mean to tell me you're in a federal correctional institution and they could not stop the.
No, they couldn't stop. No, they couldn't stop. The chaplain that was on duty, he told them we have to keep on continuing because there's still people get prayed for it, and he couldn't stop it. He said he couldn't stop the move of God that was taking place out there.
Brother, that's a testimony.
Yeah, God is just, you know, and I'm still, you know, Brother Dwayne, you know me, and very seldom do you find me when I don't have words. I really don't have any words. I've just been so filled up and weeping before the Lord, for for what he's doing and how the Holy Spirit is just reaching out and grabbing people in the body of Christ that they're so hungry that once they get the taste of it, they just can't stop. They just can't stop coming. And you see these big guys with tattoos and everything all over them and tears just coming down their face and streaming because they feel the Holy Spirit and they feel their deliverance for the first time in their life, that they really truly believe that they have been set free from the bondages.
Amen.
That's the commandments that Jesus is speaking about when he says, my commandments of love, to love one another as Christ loves us. And that is what I'm seeing taking place. And I just pray that this revival can continue, even at Greenville, as we're speaking, we have deliverance services coming through there. I've seen such a move of God in the past 2 or 3 weeks with deliverances concerning homosexuality, bisexual pride. When I call for pride, I think the whole place came forward. And I was calling for specific things, and there was not one call that did not get answered.
Amen.
Not one call. People are just so hungry today.
Yeah,
they're just hungry for the word. They don't want to hear the word no more. They want to see the word manifest.
Right.
And that's what Jesus was speaking about. The world won't see me, but you will see me. And he showed himself, and when he started speaking of all the scriptures concerning himself, that's when the disciples' hearts started to burn, you know. And it's funny because as soon as he broke the bread, they remembered who he was, and then he disappeared, showing them that I don't want you to see me through my body. I want you to see me through my word and through my communion.
Amen.
And, you know, it's just a wonderful thing, my brother. You know, it's a wonderful thing. I've just got, my God.
Why don't you do us a favor here and pray for Brother Mike, and then we're going to have to end this thing. We're running out of time as always, so just give us a prayer for Mike.
Yeah. Father, we want to thank you for Brother Mike. We thank you for the anointing that is upon his life, Lord. We thank you that he is taking your word and is preaching your word, and Father, you are confirming the word with signs that is following. Father, we thank you for your humble servant, Lord God. May you increase, Lord God. Father, I know you are taking him from glory to glory, from one realm of faith to another, Lord God. We thank you for what you're doing in that place, Lord God. Continue to give him wisdom, Lord God, as to how to disciple these people, Lord God, and bring them to maturity, Lord God. We give you praise and glory as you're covering him with your precious blood, Lord, along the highways and the byways. We give you praise for this broadcast, Lord God. We thank you for the hearers, Lord God, and we thank you for the hearing that is continuously manifesting, Lord God, because your word is going forth, and you sent your word and healed each and every one, Lord God. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, my brother.
Thank you.
Folks, I want to tell you, we really do being here today. Next Tuesday, 10 o'clock, we're going to start in John chapter 15, I believe. I'm so drunk right now in the Holy Spirit, I can't tell you. But check out our website, www.dmcministries.net, and also check out blogtalkradio.com/DMC2, and you can hear this and all the other broadcasts that we have. That will definitely be a blessing to you. And so until next week, when we see you again, let the Spirit reign.